I don't know if it's possible to overstate what a big deal Easter Sunday is for Christian churches. Lots of churches will spend months preparing full-scale, dramatic reproductions of the story of Jesus' death and resurrection. And of course, it's standard practice to hold an Easter egg hunt to bring people to church. But when you really want to get the community's attention, when you really want people to visit your church, you got to go big. This is from a recording of an Easter egg cannon event at Christian Life Assembly Church in Southern California. A 7-foot-tall compressed air cannon shoots 100 plastic eggs into the sky. And once they land, all the kids run and try to grab them. But for some churches, even cannons aren't enough. At Lifesong Church in Sutton, Massachusetts, they rent a helicopter every year. They line all their kids up on the side of this big field and then fly the chopper over the center of that field and proceed to dump thousands of plastic eggs to the ground. Upon impact, children rush the field like it's 1840s California. There's gold in them, their eggs. This helicopter thing is actually more common than you'd think. There are Easter egg chopper drops in Virginia, Alabama, Michigan, Connecticut, North Carolina.
Yeah, Easter's huge.
Especially huge for people like A.J. Smith, the pastor of Restoration Church in Philadelphia. That's the church plant we're following for this series.
It's pretty well known among church planters that, like, winter is a very difficult time to reach people. So once spring comes, people are out. People are out in the streets, people are engaged, and people are in a good mood, you know?
AJ needs to double the size of Restoration by the end of this year, and Easter might be the single best opportunity to make that happen. A big reason is what people in the church call creasters, people who really only turn out for church on Christmas Eve and Easter. If you want to grab somebody who's open to going to church, but just for whatever reason isn't, Easter's the time to do it.
So Easter is a huge opportunity for us to reach people. It might be the biggest of the year. So we are all hands on deck.
They don't have a helicopter or a cannon, but they do have a plan. One that involves 100 frozen chickens. And if the plan works, this could be the boost they need to get to self-sustaining. But
when we talk about people actually coming to church on Sunday, I've learned there are no guarantees. I play this game with myself where I sit in the front seat in church and we're doing the worship songs. And I make a conscious effort where I don't look back. I don't look back. I just pray and that people are coming in. When I turn around with the microphone, it's like pulling back the curtain. It's like, and no one's here. Or, oh my gosh, there are 6 new people here who I've never seen before. Easter's definitely going to be that on another level. My skin is going to be crawling with anxiety.
Welcome to Startup, the show about what it's really like to start something new. I'm Eric Mennel. This is the 3rd episode of our series on church planting, on what it takes to grow a new evangelical church from scratch. There is this fundamental question all entrepreneurs have to wrestle with at some point, and that is, how much of your company's success depends on you and your hustle, and how much depends on factors entirely beyond your control? And in church planting, this gets especially tricky, because your success is supposed to be in God's hands, or at least some of it is. But how much? And is it possible that all your hustle, the thing that makes you a good entrepreneur, can also make you a bad Christian? It's a question that's been messing with AJ for months. And this week, the week of Easter, the highest stakes week for Restoration Church to date, we're going to watch as he wrestles with this tension, all while trying everything he can to get new people in the door on Sunday. It's about a week before Easter, a Friday night. AJ has just put his 2 kids to bed, and now he's downstairs, sitting quietly in his recliner. A pastor finally settling in for what has become one of his most sacred weekly rituals.
One thing that's really, really special to me about Friday nights is I dip on those nights, chewing tobacco, basically, but it's something I've done on and off for, you know, since I was 15.
As he's gotten older, he's shifted away from straight dip and down to a version that's made of mint leaves. Less cancer, same oral fixation. This is his time, maybe his only time in the week to replenish and relax. Sometimes when he dips, he listens to music. Sometimes he watches Netflix. But whatever he does, it's his gift to himself. Time to not think about church. I asked him to record an audio diary of what was going through his mind during this dip sesh. And one of the first things that came up?
Man, our sign did not get up again this week.
Church. The church's main sign is still just a plastic banner draped over the old sign for the dentist that used to own the building. AG's been trying for weeks to get it replaced, without any luck. And with all the hurdles they've faced getting people in the door, this is one he wishes he'd cleared by now.
I mean, this electrician was supposed to be there, saying he's going to be there. He doesn't come through. Then he promises he'll be there. And I'm told that he did half the work. I show up, there's nothing done. That sign has to be up. And it doesn't look great. And it doesn't have a sign. I mean, it doesn't have a sign.
AJ's burnt out. He's been running on all cylinders since taking over back in October, trying to get the church and the new building ready for Easter weekend. He has this pain running up the right side of his neck that's keeping him from sleeping very well. It happens sometimes because he pulls his man bun too tight. But he and his wife Leah were both pretty sure. This is a stress pain.
I've been so sick some weeks. So tired. Feeling so awful, so anxious. Just the worst I've ever felt physically. Building chairs, writing sermons, meeting with people, driving all over the place, not getting enough sleep.
Burnout is pretty common in startups. Founders work themselves into the ground, trying to keep their company stable and thriving. But when I ask AJ about this in studio, he brings up this paradox that seems very specific to building a church. It's this question of whether the amount of work he's putting in says something about the amount of faith he has.
It's a weird mental place to live in as a Christian, as a pastor. It's like you're saying your actions that I really don't believe God is doing this. I really don't believe he answers prayer. And I really believe like I'm better. I better take this over. And that's been evidenced in my life like to an extreme where it's just like, you know, I could spend a half hour praying, but I really could like write this donor a letter. It's like I'm not going to sit up there and say, hope the Holy Spirit gives me a sermon. No, I'm going to put hours into my sermons. I just hope people show. No, we're going to put hours into ministries and outreaches.
Why do you think you do that?
I think I need this to work. You know, I've been going towards this since I was 18 when I went to Bible college, and I've done nothing but move towards ministry since then.
Your entire adult life?
Yeah. Everything's moving towards this, you know.
For a lot of new companies, the founder is the brand. And because of that, their identity can become wrapped up in the success or failure of the company. But for an evangelical church, Jesus is supposed to be the brand. Which is why AJ is struggling with having his identity so wrapped up in Restoration's success. There are moments where it feels like it's about him, not God. It's really confusing.
If you're not actually engaging God, if you're not like developing a relationship with him and really depending on him, what you're doing doesn't even matter. And I think that's something, you know, I probably really need to work through.
Church planting is a weird psychology. And sometimes I feel like it might be a little inhumane.
This is Leah Smith, AJ's wife. She's feeling this conflict too.
I can say this because I feel like I'm a part of it when it's like, oh, I feel like my identity is intertwined with the church plant. So I'm going to speak for me, Eric. I want to be successful at this.
The fact that she has become so consumed by trying to make the church work is sort of a surprise to Leah. She's the church's worship director, meaning she plays piano and sings most Sundays. But for the majority of her life, she had a totally different dream. She wanted to be a professional musician. When she was little, she performed at the churches where her father was on staff. And as a teen, she got a huge break when a really famous gospel singer named Israel Houghton heard her recordings and asked her to move to Texas so he could help her make an album.
First of all, he was an idol to me. I'm like, oh my gosh. Israel wants me to come down and record an album. This is a thing. So I convinced my parents. It took a little bit of convincing.
She got to sing with his gospel band and Aretha Franklin at the Grammys. They toured all over the world. This is her performing a song she wrote when she was 18 in front of a crowd of hundreds of people just outside Orlando. I am beautifully and wonderfully made. A year went by, but the album wasn't falling into place. Over the years, she played bigger and bigger venues. This is a recording from a big Christian festival she performed at. But still, no album. And eventually, she had to come back home to help out when her sister got pregnant.
So my mom was like, Leah, come back home now. You know, you're coming back home now. Yeah, I think I packed up my things thinking I would go back down to Texas, but that never happened. Mm-hmm. I just stayed in Philly.
She met AJ a couple years later. And when he took over Restoration, the church kind of became this new project for her, a new dream she could make a reality. But that dream has forced her to confront this same paradox AJ is working through, how to build something successful while also not making it about you.
I wrestle with it daily, getting wrapped up. What I want this church to be, what I want Restoration to look like, that's the fight with church planting. How do you stay centered and grounded and not enmeshed in I am the church is me, and the church must be what I want it to be?
You're looking for it to be like a finished album.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You're absolutely right. Yeah, child, to be a successful finished album. I'm looking for a win in life, Eric, to be honest with you. I think that thought every day. I'm looking for a win, you know. Isn't that something? That's kind of sad when I think about it. Because then that puts so much pressure on this little baby church plant to be that win, and that's not what it's supposed to be for me. It can't do what I wanted to do.
How are you?
It's Saturday, the day before Easter, and Restoration Church is putting on its biggest community event of the year, the thing they hope will bring in a bunch of new people for tomorrow's service. This is where the frozen chickens come in. They've got 105 boxes, and they're filling them with food, a free Easter meal. They've been promoting the meals on Facebook for a couple of weeks, inviting people in the neighborhood to come pick one up.
This is a lot of boxes.
Inside these Hail Mary boxes, they've got the frozen chickens, vegetables, mac and cheese, rice. There's a little card with information about the church. And frozen pastries. Everything looks great.
Wait a minute.
Until Leah looks a little closer.
Why does it say best before July 10th, 2017?
Some of it's expired.
15 minutes before the event is supposed to start, Leah realizes all 100 plus pies and cakes expired 9 months ago. Obviously, they should just throw them out. But she goes ahead and checks with one of the church's members, Tim Welbeck, and asks what he thinks they should do.
It is a frozen item.
It is frozen.
What do you think, Tim? Is this okay?
It is frozen, and expiration dates aren't what people presume them to be.
Oh, no, Tim. Don't do it.
But is it a bad look, though? You know what I mean?
You gave me some rotten dessert.
Walk it back, Tim. Walk it back.
We don't have to give them. If you're uncomfortable, we don't have to give them.
Yeah, we ain't gonna do that.
Oh, thank God. And at 11 o'clock, the event officially kicks off. Like clockwork.
Can I come in?
You're welcome to come around on the side, though, yeah. And come.
They get their first visitor. She's come for a box of food, but she also wants to check out the church. So she comes around the side and into the sanctuary, where Mark Savage, one of the members, is playing music. He asks her about the Philadelphia Eagles jersey she's wearing. But then he gets to the real question.
Right on. So where are you at now in terms of church? What are you doing? What are you doing now?
Still doing my live stream from my church from Miami.
It turns out she's lived in the neighborhood for years, but she hasn't found a church she likes as much as the church she went to when she lived in Florida. So she just streams their services every Sunday. This is actually one of the biggest hurdles for small churches, the rise of on-demand Christianity. Who needs to go to church when you can get it on your phone? The thing I'm most curious about, though, is how she actually heard about this event. Was it AJ and Leah's work, or was it something else? She's here with a friend who lays it out for me.
Did you see it on Facebook, or was it like a physical flyer?
My mother's case manager, she actually sent me the information. So she sent me like a picture text of their picture from Facebook, and so I had sent it out to various people. But it's funny.
So, to be clear, this woman's friend's mother's case manager saw the ad on Facebook, took a photo of the computer screen on her phone, and then texted it out to a bunch of people. It is a crazy Rube Goldberg series of events. And I ask Mark how he makes sense of it.
As much as I say this is a cliche and I hate to say it, God is in control. And that weird stuff happens.
That God's gonna find people the algorithm can't.
Right, yes. Yes, absolutely. Yep.
Half an hour later,
because people really are lining up right now.
AJ's getting nervous. Despite the early visitor, things have been very slow. He's starting to worry that his plan might have been all wrong, that the very nature of the outreach, publicly handing out free food on the street, is a little problematic.
There's an element of shame that comes with it, where you don't want to embarrass people. You don't want people to, thank you, have a good one. You know, some people feel a little insulted if you come and say, here's a free meal. Like, and even if they do need it, it's kind of hard when you have a group of people watching you, because it's embarrassing for some people, especially it's a very public thing.
To even have a shot at convincing people to take the boxes, they need to get them to the church. So AJ's sending teams of two into the neighborhood to knock on doors and let them know about the food and the service tomorrow.
So I do want to tell people, like, the food is here now if they want to come get a meal also.
Okay.
If you guys can do that.
Okay.
Leah heads out with another member of the church, a woman named Taishira. They put the invites on doors and on windshields.
Oh, yeah. It's a little illegal-ish, but.
Is it really?
But back at HQ, things aren't picking up.
We were having a slow but steady flow. Mm-hmm.
They need to think of something soon, or they're going to be stuck with some 90 defrosting chickens and no new visitors on Easter morning. It's then that Mark and a couple of the other members decide to step up their game. Go full evangelical. Restoration is situated on a busy road. And as the cars passing by get stopped at the red light up the block, members of the church start running into the street, knocking on people's passenger windows and offering them meals through the glass.
Free Easter dinner, sir?
And for the most part, people are rolling their windows down. They're taking the food.
Mark, you're killing it. You're like opening car doors, running across the street.
It's my intimidation factor.
Oh, you think?
I think so. I think that we better take it or else.
They give out 10 boxes this way, then a dozen. They're weaving in and out of traffic as the cars stop at the light half a block up.
We flipped the script. We had to change our whole thing. People weren't coming up here, so we had to go out to the cars, and it's working really well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
With so much movement and activity, the foot traffic picks up as well. A woman riding by on the city bus actually gets off at the stop up the street, walks back to the church to get a box, and then takes it back to the stop to wait for the next bus.
Oh, thank you. Oh my God, this is awesome.
There are only 40 boxes left, then 30. People are smiling, joking, breaking down the trash. AJ's spirits are up. For the first time all day, he seems truly excited to be telling people about this church.
Yeah, we're a new church right in the area, so we're just trying to show some love today.
You be here all the time?
Oh, yeah, all the time. Yeah,
right, cool.
We bought the building. It's our new permanent location, so.
Yes. Hey, thanks very much. Happy Easter. God bless you guys.
Yeah. And at 12:22, the last box goes out.
Is that it?
Yeah. Yay!
Got it.
Wow. What time is it? It's 12:22. We were supposed to end at 1. I thought we were going to go till 5 when I got here and saw that we weren't moving product that quickly. But this was good.
AJ's smiling. But as they wrap up, I catch him and Leah alone in the hall upstairs. And they look exhausted. Like this wasn't just 3 hours of handing out meals, but like the last 6 months have been one never-ending outreach. Part of it's the reality that they've been burned before. They've had successful events like this that didn't turn out any new visitors. AJ's holding the right side of his neck where the stress pain has been. It's 1 p.m., 22 hours until the service starts, where they'll find out if all this work actually pays off.
Good morning.
Hey, good morning.
How are you doing?
Good.
How are you?
Good. I show up to AJ and Leah's around 8:30 Easter morning. Easter is the defining holiday in the Christian faith. It's the day marking Christ rising from the dead, fulfilling Old Testament prophecy, and proving he was the Son of God. It's also a defining day for Restoration Church and AJ and Leah. On an average Sunday at Restoration, there are about 40 people there. AJ thinks they need to double that if they're going to get enough money from people's donations to keep the church going. Today is the first chance for them to see if their work is paying off and how close they can get to that 80-person mark. AJ was up late last night, making last-minute changes to his sermon. He was stressed. He didn't sleep well. Ara, his 4-year-old daughter, was excited about an upcoming trip to Florida they have planned, so she took all of her clothes out of the closet and just threw them on the floor. When AJ went to wake her up this morning, he found her under the covers, in her bathing suit. For his part, AJ's dressed more traditionally. He's got on a dress shirt and a coat.
You guys look nice.
You know, man, it's Easter. Yeah, no, I don't normally wear that. It's funny. It's one of those things I said, like, I would never do.
Despite how big a day it is, in a lot of ways, it feels like any other Sunday morning, the kind millions of families deal with every single week as they try to get their kids ready and out the door for church on time.
Can we get your shoes?
Leah pulls the kids' bags together, humming hymns in the background, and AJ puts Ara in her jacket.
You want to see yourself in the mirror? You have a dog on your hood. Look.
They grab buckets for the Easter egg hunt later and head out to the car. AJ tries to negotiate a coffee stop.
We're not late yet.
We are, though.
We got time for Dunkin'.
Baby, we got to be at church at 9. I don't want...
Just teasing.
I don't think he was teasing. Either way, we don't stop. Soren, AJ and Leah's 2-year-old, decides to break the handle off his Easter bucket, which really distresses their daughter, Ara.
Soren, don't yell.
It's about a 20-minute drive to the church. We're the first ones there, about 2 hours before the service starts. We go inside, and they set the kids up with some cartoons upstairs. At this point, AJ seems to be doing anything he can to busy himself. He plugs in a vacuum and makes a round through the sanctuary. At the other end of the room, Leah turns on her keyboard and starts quietly warming up. It's perhaps the most quintessential church planty thing I've seen in the many months I've been working on this story. A young pastor in a suit he's not really comfortable in, nervously vacuuming his own sanctuary. His wife tapping away on the keyboard, wanting every note to be just right. Over the next half hour, the rest of the band trickles in and warms up. It's a real Waiting for Guffman vibe. They all seem to expect there will be watchful eyes in the audience this week, people they need to impress. And then the regulars start to arrive. There's Miss Anne. She's nearing retirement, and I think she has a niece she's trying to set me up with. Tim Welbeck, the guy who's not quite skeptical enough of expiration dates, he's here with his wife and kids. Everyone's dressed in their Easter bests, the boys in suits, the girls in dresses. It's 11 a.m., time for the service to start, and maybe 40 people are here. It's about average. AJ is sitting up front. He's doing that thing he told me about, where he only looks forward, not back. Mark Savage opens up the service with a greeting.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Good morning, good morning. Happy Resurrection Sunday to you all, also known as Easter.
Right from the start, Restoration's idiosyncrasies are laid bare. Resurrection Sunday is how a lot of traditionally black churches refer to the holiday. For most white churches, it's just Easter. For Restoration, a church that's trying to bridge these two worlds, it's both.
Rejoice, all you gathered on this Resurrection Day 2018. Let's sing together the praises of the world's resurrected King.
Then the band kicks in. And as the music plays on, something exciting happens. More people are showing up. There were 60 chairs set up to begin with. I look back and see, now all the chairs are full, and there are people standing in the doorway. Miss Anne's husband, Irv, is scrambling to a closet to pull out more chairs. He's making sure people have their coats on the floor so as not to waste any seats. He's smiling the whole time. It's the biggest crowd I've ever seen at the church.
The music slows. It's AJ's turn to pray. Finally, time to turn around to see what the crowd looks like.
Because Jesus isn't like other gods. Jesus isn't like other religious figures. Jesus isn't like anyone else in history. Because only Jesus.
He looks unfazed, but he must notice. The turnout is great. He'll later learn this is by far the biggest turnout they've had in these walls. Nearly 80 people. It's exactly what the church needs to succeed. It's a good thing he vacuumed.
Amen, amen. Welcome. Happy Resurrection Sunday. It is so good to have everyone here with us this morning.
After the prayer, he asks for first-time visitors to raise their hands. About 10 go up. Some are family members, but a handful seem to have come entirely on their own. Then there's a 5-minute break for people to say hello to each other. Leah dashes from the stage with a laser focus, making a beeline for one of the first-timers. She knows she can't just revel in the success of the turnout. The important thing now is making people feel welcome, to keep them coming back.
Hi, brother!
People sit back down and there's a little more music. And then it's time for AJ's sermon, the one he's been stressing over for weeks.
The first Christian movement was very simple. Jesus rose from the dead. You should believe this. I saw it with my own eyes and this changes everything. So becoming a follower of Jesus doesn't cost you anything. It doesn't require you to do or become anything.
AJ wraps up and the service concludes with a couple more songs. And there's a buzz in the air. Miss Anne is showing off her grandkids. Apparently, the niece isn't here. Mark is beaming as he shakes hands with new people in the congregation. My editor Lulu and I scatter to find some of the new people, to see how they found out about the church, and if they might come back. Now, what's crazy is we see both of these competing forces of church planting at work. People visiting because of AJ and the church's hustle, and people visiting due to some cosmically weird series of events.
Okay. I saw that your hand went up. Is your first time here?
Yes, it is.
For example, Lulu finds a woman who learned about the church through the outreach yesterday.
I belong to a church, but it's like a mega church, and I actually grew up in smaller churches, enjoyed the pastor, the music, everybody seems really nice, genuine, and down to earth. So I would come again. I'll be back next Sunday.
Yeah, that's great.
That's one point for hustle. But then I meet a guy named Devin. He's young, probably in his late 20s, early 30s. And he brought his daughter. Turns out, he didn't mean to come to this church at all. Devin's uncle is a pastor at a church somewhere along this street, but he couldn't remember which one. So he started walking in all of them. The first was this sort of storefront Afrocentric church with just a few people. That wasn't right. Then he walked into Restoration, and the music was good and the lighting was nice, so he sat down. And after about 15 minutes, he realized, this is also not the right church. But he was feeling it, so he just stayed. AJ's in the lobby, shaking hands with people as they leave, but largely holding back. He's letting the rest of the church do the engaging. He looks tired.
This is what we could hope for. This is everything we could hope for. Yeah. I mean, we filled up the entire place. We doubled our normal numbers. It was crazy being up front and having like every seat almost filled here because we've had so many like empty weeks.
Are you energized? Or are you like
exhausted. Like my body's like tired and I'm tired, but I'm feeling really good. I'll crash later, definitely. I'll probably come in a little late tomorrow, but yeah.
Maybe he'll come in a little later tomorrow. It's like he's just won the Super Bowl, and still, he won't give himself a day off. Then, 2 weeks later, this shows up in my inbox.
Today is Monday, April 16th, 2018, at 9:58 p.m. We got into Fort Lauderdale late last night for our little family vacation.
AJ, Leah, and the kids are on their first real vacation since Ara was born 4 years ago.
And everyone's in bed, so I came outside. We have a little dock on a canal back here, so I am enjoying a nice dip. Got my lip packed. Got a citronella candle burning next to me, and I'm just sitting here, just chilling, just reflecting. trying to not think about church stuff or anything. Maybe see an alligator, hoping to see an alligator. That'd be cool.
In the two Sundays since the holiday, attendance numbers have mostly gone back down to normal at the church, though a couple of the visitors have stayed, been there two or three times. But something has shifted in AJ, ever so slightly. You can hear it in his voice. He's starting to let go, to accept that maybe it's not all on him.
I was talking to God, praying a little bit, and I realized how quickly and kind of crazy these last 6 months have been. I could see myself going like that for years and even decades and kind of waking up 20 years from now and realizing I've just been working and producing and treating the church and my role as a pastor like someone who works in a, you know, works for a corporation or something like that. Got spit. I really don't want to get lost in the shuffle, lost in the mix, trying to have goals of the way the world defines success while trying to create a church using my own strength.
It cuts off like that, mid-thought. I'm not sure if it was intentional or by accident. In his sermon on Easter, AJ talked about how Jesus' death is not the end of the story for Christians. It's just the beginning. That seems true for restoration as well, if it's going to survive. AJ is starting to understand his role differently, but there is still a lot of growth to go. Next time on Startup, can we talk about the hard ones now?
Let's do it.
Can someone who is openly gay be a member at Restoration Church?
Man, you went right for it.
How do a church's beliefs and theology either attract people or keep them away? This episode was produced by Simone Polanin, Angelina Mosher, Bruce Wallace, and Sindhu Nayanasambandan. Our senior producer is Lauren Silverman, editing by Lulu Miller, Sarah Saracen, and Caitlin Kenny. Peter Leonard mixed the episode. Music by Haley Shaw. For full music credits, visit our website, gimletmedia.com/startup. That helicopter recording from the beginning of the show was part of a story by the Worcester Telegram Gazette. Special thanks to Charlie Mitchell and Trevor Chin of Epiphany Baltimore. I'm Eric Mennel. If you aren't already subscribed to Startup, hurry now. There is a discount for the next 100 subscribers. I'm just kidding. It's free. It's always free. Just go to Apple Podcast or whichever app you use and hit subscribe. And while you're there, please leave us a review. It really is one of the best ways for new people to find the show. Oh, and an exciting update. Leah Smith finished her album just a couple of months ago, all on her own. It's called Tenderheaded. We're going to put a link to it in our newsletter this week. Just go to gimletmedia.com/newsletter, sign up, and we'll send that your way. You can follow us on Twitter at Podcast Startup. Thank you for listening. We are off next week, but we will be back in 2 weeks. See you then.